各位菩萨大家好，非常欢迎你们来听这次的周日讲经。
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's talk.
Hello. One, two, three. Okay. 来之前啊，有菩萨跟我说，很多法师在周日讲经的时候，都没有讲完，所以呢，我这次也很放心了，反正讲到哪算到哪。
Before I came here, there were other people that told me, previously many of the Fashis that came here give Sunday talks didn't finish exactly their talks. So that makes me feel more relaxed actually, because it means, you know, we'll just go along and finish as much as we can.
好，那我就不要太多废话，直接进入主题。
So instead of keep talking about frivolous things, let me get straight to the point.
那这次的题目我讲的是学佛的进程。那会想讲这个题目啊，其实主要是因为我自己本身对在学佛的那个过程当中，经常会有一个疑问，就是佛到底教了我们什么东西。
So today's topic is the sequence of learning Buddhism, the progress, different stages of progress in learning Buddhism. And the reason why I want to discuss this topic is because it actually originated from my own questions. In my process of learning Buddhism, I often question myself, what is it exactly that the Buddha has been trying to teach us?
那所以其实这次的讲题应该对象是属于比较初阶的，就是之前可能就是刚学佛的，那对佛法整体没有什么概念的对象。
So the audience for today's talk, is actually more for beginners, people who are first introduced to Buddhism, and hopefully this talk will give you a more holistic view of what it is like to be studying Buddhism.
好，那学佛的过程呢，我会想要用一个病人看医生的这个过程来做比喻啊。比如说一个人他要看医生，第一个条件他承认自己有病，那他承认自己有病之后去看了医生，那医生就会跟他开始分析说你得的是什么病，那这个病是怎么形成的，你的病因是怎样，那要怎么做才能够让你这个病消除。
So the process of learning Buddhism, I will use this analogy. It's like a patient going to see a doctor. And when the patient first goes to the doctor, he has to admit that he has an illness. And then the doctor will then analyze, give diagnosis. Can you hear in the back?And then also explain the cause, different causes of the illness, and then finally providing a prognosis.
所以我们要学佛之前呢，第一个先承认自己有病。那什么病？也是一种烦恼病。好，那如果你不觉得自己有烦恼，那佛法对你没有用，因为你不觉得有修行的必要。
So in this very beginning stage of learning Buddhism, we have to first admit that we are indeed sick. What are we sick from? We have a sick illness of vexations. if we fail to admit that we are indeed sick, then there's really no need for us to be learning Buddhism. All the methods that Buddha is trying to teach would be useless to us.
那我们觉得自己有病了，然后开始学佛了。那佛就开始跟我们讲，我们烦恼是怎么产生的，它的原理是怎么来的，好，那它又是怎么灭的，好，那要怎么样做才能够达到灭除烦恼的目的？好，所以它这个其实就是第一个先讲，我们有苦。 因为有烦恼，我们有病，所以有苦。那再来讲十二因缘的集，要讲病因的形成跟消灭，就讲十二因缘的流转跟幻灭。好，那讲怎么样做才能够让烦恼消掉，这个就是讲八正道。好，那这个其实就是苦集灭道，就是四圣谛。
So after we have admitted that we are indeed ill, then the Buddha starts teaching us what are the causes of our illness, how are they formed, and how to eliminate the illness, and the methods for doing so. And so this is exactly what he taught us. First, talking about the illness, the causes of illness is the discussion on dukkha, sufferings. And then the formations of our vexations or the illness is the discussion of the 12 origination, and 12 dependent origination. And then talking about how to eliminate these vexations and the causes of vexations, we use the Eightfold Noble Path. And so this actually is the Four Noble Path that Buddha had taught us.
好，那病医生在帮病人看病的时候，一定会先根据这个病人他的身体的状况的不同，好，然后会给予不同的医治的方式。好，那佛陀要帮我们治病也是啊，看这个人的根气是怎么样的，啊，然后才给他不同的方法。 那刚才讲的四圣谛八正道，这个是佛陀刚成佛的时候第一次的说法，他是对五比丘说法，他讲的就是四圣谛八正道，跟十二因缘啊，缘起这些东西。
So for a doctor to start treating the patients, the doctor will first look at the conditions of the patient and then prescribe different kinds of treatments and medications accordingly. And so when Buddha first started teaching the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Noble Path, as well as the 12th dependent origination were what he taught the five monks initially when he first starts turning Dharma wheel.
所以佛他并不是对所有的人都讲四圣谛八正道，因为每个人的根气都不一样。那我就是稍微整理一下，大概会有三种类型。 就是佛说的法有三种类型，第一种是人天道，第二种是解脱道，第三种是菩萨道。So
the Buddha doesn't teach everyone the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Noble Paths. He would actually look at the different predispositions of individuals and give different types of teaching. And I've looked over them, and basically I can categorize them into three categories. The first one is the human and heavenly realm path, human and heavenly path. And the second one is the path of liberation. And the third is the bodhisattva path.
那我们知道 佛是一个福德跟智慧都圆满的人、啊、那如果从这个角度来看的话，这三个不同的道路、啊、它分别它在福德跟智慧的比重上面、啊、以人天道来讲，它是比较偏向、福德的成分比较多，那解脱道比较偏智慧的部分、啊、那菩萨道是福德跟智慧都一样重要的一个方式。
Buddha, as we all know, that he is someone who is already perfect in both merit and virtue. As to the three different cultivation methods I just mentioned, we could also look at it, understand it on the basis that they place different emphasis on the cultivation of merit or virtue. For instance, the path for human realm and the heavenly realm, it focuses more on the cultivations of merit. And for the path of liberation, it focuses more on wisdom. And finally, on the bodhisattva path, it's a double emphasis, dual emphasis on both merit and wisdom.
所以在人天道的部分，它的修行内容大概是三个项目，就是布施，然后持五戒，还有修禅定。那这三个东西，这三个修行方式，它的结果都是比如说布施、持戒，它都是可以获得很多福报。那禅定的话，如果你禅定修得好，可以让你上升天界，禅定天。所以这三个方法都是属于修福的方法。
For the path for cultivating toward the human and heavenly realm, there are mainly three different methods of practice. One is the practice of giving. The second one is the practice of upholding the precepts.And the third one is a practice of samadhi or concentration. And for the first two, the practice of giving and precept, it will help one cultivate blessings and merit. And for the practice of concentration, samadhi, it will help someone ascend to the heavenly realm, the practitioner ascending to the heavenly realm.
那在解脱道的部分，它主要是要同样也是受戒，可是他受的戒是具足戒，刚刚的那个是五戒，好，那解脱道是具足戒，比如像比丘戒、比丘尼戒，好，那另外就是要修八正道，那八正道里面如果仔细去研究，它里面没有布施这个道这个方式，好，那所以它在比重上它是比较偏向智慧的方向。
For the path of liberation, the second path, then you also have to uphold the precepts. But this one, you have to uphold the whole set of precepts, such as the ones that's being held by monks and nuns. And then also you practice the Eightfold Noble Path. But if you look at it more carefully, you will see that within the Eightfold Noble Path, there's no practice of giving. So the Eightfold Noble Path actually focuses more on the cultivation of wisdom.
那菩萨道他的修行的内容啊，第一个也是要受戒，不过他受的是菩萨戒。好，那再来是六度，大家知道六度吗？它的项目，布施、持戒、忍辱、精进、禅定、智慧，所以这六个项目，福德跟智慧都有包括，哦，所以它是属于福慧双修的一种修行方式。
For people who are practicing the path of Bodhisattva path, you also have to uphold precepts, but in this case, you uphold the Bodhisattva precepts. And also, you will have to practice the six perfections, six paramitas. Do you all know the content of the six paramitas? They are charity, again, the practice of giving, upholding the precepts, tolerating insults or endurance, diligence, meditation, samadhi, and finally, the sixth one is wisdom. And so, as you can see, embedded within these six paramitas, one cultivates both merit as well as wisdom. So if it has a dual focus.
那所以佛会因材施教，如果这个人完全没有学佛，那佛就跟他讲人天法，那如果这个人有解脱的可能，佛就跟他讲解脱法，那如果这个人是菩萨根基，佛就跟他讲 菩萨法.
So when the Buddha gave his teachings, he would actually look at the target audience and the person who's learning, who wants to learn, and look at their predispositions and give the teachings accordingly. So for someone who is really not curious, who doesn't seek liberation, who doesn't really see much need for it, he would then expound on the teaching for cultivating toward the human and heavenly realm. And if the Buddha sees that someone within this person, there is the potential for liberation, then he would teach them the path of liberation. And then if someone who has really a wholesome root, then he would teach the path of bodhisattva.
所以理论上, 菩萨道是最圆满的修行方式。那可是这个真的要看自己哈。如果就是说，并不能说你修人天道或者解脱道就是不好的哦。如果你觉得自己比较适合这条路，那你就选这条路。 那不然你自己修得很痛苦，对。So
theoretically speaking, yes, the Bodhisattva path is the best, the greatest, but it really depends on each individual's predisposition and your temperament, and so you have to look within and understand yourself. So if you It will be wrong to say that the practice toward human and heavenly realm is not good. Again, it depends on your own temperaments and depends on what you are seeking and what you need. So without first understanding your own predisposition, your temperament, and if you want to force yourself into one particular path that's not suitable for you, it will actually result in a lot of suffering. It will be pretty painful to practice.
那我们会选择不同的道路来修行，除了我们自己本身的根基不同之外，另外一个很重要就是我们的发心，我们的动机。 就是我们为什么想要来学佛？
And also, in determining which path to take, how to practice, other than your predispositions and your temperament, it also it's dependent on someone's motivation. Why? The initial reason, initial motivation that motivates you into practice, that will also determine which path you will take.
这个就让我想起当初出家在深潜大学的时候，师父一直跟我们强调，你们的出发心很重要，就是你为什么要来出家。那对各位来说，就是要问你们自己，你们为什么想要来学佛？那很多人。 我也碰过一些来寺院的，他之所以会来寺院，可能是觉得这里环境不错，很喜欢 哦、或者是他只是想学禅修、哦、那其他的、佛法的教理、哦、苦空无常无我、哦、缘起什么、嗯、不想知道，那所以他就是来上瑜伽课啊。
So this reminds me, when I was still in the Sangha University, when Shifu was, whenever he talked to us, he constantly reminds us that we have to remember our initial motivation, our very initial determination in our seeking of practicing of Buddhism, that we should not forget that initial motivation. So similarly, for all of you here, you have to remember why you want to study Buddhism initially. For a lot of people come here wanting to learn Buddhism based on all different kinds of motivations. Some people like the environment, feel that it's quite peaceful. And some people are only interested in the practice of meditation. They're not really interested in learning other Buddhist principles such as sufferings, emptiness, impermanence, the dependent originations, etc. So for those people coming to practice meditation, it's just like taking a yoga class. There's really no difference between the two.
那所以怎么样的动机才是最圆满的呢？好，那在那个天台智者大师，他有一本书叫做《释禅波罗蜜》，那他这本书一开始就列了十种错误的发心，比如说他是为了名闻利养，或者是只是为了内心的安乐，或者怕堕落恶道，或者是想要升天，甚至想要求解脱，这个都是错的。
So what kind of motivation is the so-called most complete or the most perfect kind? Great Master Zhizhe from the Tiantai School, he wrote a book. It's called Understanding Dhyana Paramitas. And in the book, he talks about different stages of the use of methods. In the very beginning of the book, he listed 10 different kinds of motivations that are of erroneous origin. They're wrong, 10 different kinds of wrong motivations. So for some people learning Buddhism, they're in the process, they're really seeking status, fame, or people's admiration, respect. Some people are learning it for the peace of their inner mind. Some people are doing it because they're afraid they will fall into the evil path. Some are doing it in order to be reborn into the heavenly realm. And for some people, they're even doing it even for seeking liberation, wanting to enter nirvana. For Master Zhizhe, those are still considered erroneous motivations.
那到底什么才是对的？
So having listed all of those, so what is correct then? What is the correct motivation?
那很简单了，我们每天早晚课都有在唱，叫做四弘誓愿。
It's actually quite simple. Every day during morning and evening recitations, we recite the four great vows.
为什么？因为这个愿是要成佛的愿，那佛要我们学的其实就是学让我们自己能够跟佛一样，所以我们为了要成佛，我们必须发能够成佛的愿。
So the four great vows will show us the correct motivation. Why is that? Because the four great vows guides us onto the path of becoming a Buddha ourselvesAnd when the Buddha first taught the different methods and gave his teachings, his intention was so that we can all become Buddhas ourselves. And so the four great vows will guide us onto this path.
可是大部分的人来学佛， 都不是发四弘誓愿所以来学佛、哦、
Yet、for most people who want to come and learn Buddhism, their initial motivation was not the four great vows.
有些人可能是因为、亲人往生、哦、觉得生命无常、哦、那或者是亲友介绍、哦、来这边上上课、哦、那其实这样子的动机都不错、哎、因为我们如果就是、一开始还没学佛的时候根本不知道有四弘誓愿嘛，对，那我们会学佛就是因为刚刚讲举例的那些动机，所以我们来学佛，所以也不能说那些动机是不对的。
So some people, they started learning Buddhism because they have someone close to them that passed away, which made them realize the impermanence of life. And some people are doing it because their friends or families introduced them to Buddhism and they felt that it's pretty nice. So they came and wanted to learn more. Those initial motivations, they're actually not wrong. It's okay to have those.Because when we first started learning Buddhism, very few of us came already knowing the four great vows. So it's only after we have、some introductions to Buddhism that we learn the four great vows. So、the initial motivations of, you know, coming because of families and friends, it's okay. They're okay too.
好，那所以现在大家知道了要发四弘誓愿，可是、发得起来吗？好像会不会觉得太远了？
So now that we all know to set the correct motivation, we should、take the vows,、make the four great vows. But do you feel you're able to do it?、does it intimidate some of you feeling that it's too far away or too grand?
那这个其实是一个、我们终极的目标、啊、好，那愿还是要发，但是要从近的做起。
You can actually see that as our ultimate goals. So it is important to make the four great vows、and have this long-term goal in mind.、yet when we are actually approaching our practice, we start from the more immediate,、whatever that's more doable, more approachable at this time.
比如说、我要从台湾来纽约 会不会觉得因为很远所以就干脆不去了、
For instance,、if I'm trying to go from Taiwan to coming to New York, it's quite a long distance. So are you ever going to think, oh, it's so far, so I'm not even going to go at all?
不过一开始很简单、哦、你只要去买机票就可以了。
But the initial step is actually really simple. You just have to go and purchase your flight ticket.
所以我们知道了四弘誓愿，那要怎么开始做呢？最简单的就是从戒定慧三学来开始。
So after knowing the four great vows, Exactly where do we begin?、so the easiest one is starting from the practice of、upholding the precepts, practicing concentration samadhi, and、the cultivation of wisdom, starting from these three routes.
那这三学之间的关系是什么呢、大致上来讲就是我们透过持戒可以帮助修定，那透过禅定可以帮助我们发慧。
What is the interrelationship between these three practices? Basically, it boils down to、by upholding the precepts, it will help us、cultivate concentration samadhi. And by having concentration samadhi, it will help us develop, ignite our wisdom.
那所以慧，我们佛法讲的智慧是什么东西？它不是有 我们讲一个人很有智慧，并不是说这个人智商很高，或者知识很丰富，啊，或者很有经验，这个都不是。啊，所谓智慧其实是一种无我的态度。
So this, we keep talking about wisdom. What is wisdom after all? So the kind of wisdom that we are trying to practice in Buddhism does not relate to someone's IQ. It's not about how much knowledge you have. It's not about how much experience, worldly experience you have. It's really about an attitude, the fostering of an attitude of no self.
那为什么无我呢？是因为缘起的关系，因为缘起，所以是无我的。
So, but what is no self? No self is understanding the dependent origination, and not understanding that everything doesn't have an intrinsic nature. It comes to be because of all the different conditions and causes. That creates different sorts of phenomena in the world.
好，那为什么缘起就可以无我呢？好，那这个要从我们的怎么样认识这个世界开始讲起哈。像我们的人是由我们的身体跟我们的心所组成的。好，那我们会认识这个世界是透过我们的五官啊，我们眼睛看，耳朵听，鼻子闻，身体摸，来认识这个世界。那在我们为了要方便来认识我们周遭接触到的东西，我们会第一个动作，我们会先给我们接触到的东西给它一个名字。比如说我们认识新朋友，第一件事问你叫什么名字。好，那我们看到一个新的东西没看过的，第一件事会去问这是什么东西。好，比如说我拿到一只新的手机，第一个会问这只是什么，是 Apple 的呢还是 Samsung 的呢？第一个我们都会先去问，想要是知道这个东西的名字是什么。
So it boils down to how we perceive the world, how we come to know the world around us. Human beings are basically made out of our body and the mind. So we understand the world through our body and mind. For instance, we become aware, we have perceptions of the world through our five sensory organs. And in order to facilitate and enhance our understanding of the world, then we start labeling things with names. We give everything that we encounter a name. For instance, when we meet a new person, encounter a new friend, then oftentimes the first thing we ask is, what is your name? Or if we are in a new situation, then we ask people what is going on, what's happening. Or if I have a new cell phone, then first we look into it and say, is this an Apple or a Samsung phone, and what is the model number, etc. So we give everything a name to make it more convenient for us to remember it.
那我们给的这些东西名字之后，但是我们却没有去，应该说，我们给的这个虽然给的这个东西名字，但是其实这个东西是假的，它并不是一个真正的东西，所以我们给这个假的名，给这个假的东西名字的这个过程叫做假施舍。
So, after giving an object or a person a name, we oftentimes fail to realize that these names are illusions and they are only temporary. It's not for real. It's only for the process of cognizing ourselves with the world that we label it with a name. So this process that we go through of attaching a name, giving labels to everything, is called nominal designations.
那假施舍它本身有分成三个层次。 那第一个层次叫做名假。
So this process of giving nominal designations, there are also three different levels. The first one is the names that we give are understanding that it's a nominal designation.
比如说呢，假设我现在有两支笔好了，虽然有只有一支笔，假设有两支笔，好，然后我用一条橡皮筋把它绑起来，然后。 就变成，然后给他一个名字，他叫做小强一号，好，那我可不可以叫他长江二号，也可以嘛，那从此以后我就认定这绑起来的两支笔，叫做小强一号，这个就是给他一个名字嘛，可是。 不管我是给他小强一号还是叫他长江二号，他这两支笔，它还是这两支笔组成的，它不会改变它的组成组合方式，所以这个名字不代表就是这个组合，所以这个叫做名，这个名字是假的，叫名假，这是第一个层次。So
again, the first level is called nominal designations of names. For instance, pretend I have two pens here, and then I tie them together with a rubber band, and this new object that I make, I call it X. From this point on, I can just call it X the whole time, and thinking that it's referring to this two pen and this rubber band, tying them together. In truth, it's really just two pens and a rubber band, but I label it by giving it the name of X. This is the process of nominal designations of names.
所以我们说，我们给很多东西取名字，比如说这个我们叫做笔，那我讲话的这个我们叫它麦克风。 这个叫做桌子，这些都是假的，我们给它一个名字。So
we give different objects names all the time. For instance, this is a pen, and this is a microphone, and this object is a table. But these names are all temporary. They're all illusions. It's just that we gave it, we name it, X or Y.
那第二个层次呢，叫做受假。那接受的受，那这是佛学名相了。那它的意思，比如说我们有一台汽车，这台车子它并不是真的有一台真正的完整的汽车在那边。 它其实只是一些钣金，四个轮胎，一个引擎，一些玻璃，零件等等，这些一个一个零件组合起在一起之后，我们给它一个名字，叫做汽车。所以这台车它本身并没有一个实体的存在。
And the second level is called the nominal designations of sensations. These are all just Buddhist terms, nominal designations of sensations. So what is it? It's like everything is made out of different parts. For instance, there's a car in front of us. There's really not a real entity called the car. It's merely made out of different parts. All the nuts and bolts, glasses, metal boards, engine, that makes up this phenomenon that's called car.
那第三个层次叫做法甲，法就是佛法的法。好，那在法甲的层次，就是比如说我们把刚才构成这一台汽车的其中的一个元素，比如说引擎啊，我们来分析这个引擎，它并也不是真的有一个完整的引擎在那里，它是由一些啊轴承、活塞啊或者螺丝等等东西拼凑出来，然后我们给它一个名字叫做引擎。
And the third level is called the nominal designations of phenomenon. So let's use that same car example. So looking at the car, we can go further and analyze one part of the car. Let's take the engine, for example. Even the part of the car, the engine itself, is still not a concrete, real entity.It's still made out of all different parts, such as, again, the metals and the screws, and all the different parts that makes up this thing called the engine.
好，那再举一个例子哈，比如说我们今天的周日讲经在这里举行，那如果给它一个不同的名字。叫做周日说法也可以嘛，可是我们给它不同名字之后，我们还是照样的进行，并不会影响它的进行方式嘛，所以这个是名甲的层次。
So that ultimately everything is really all made out of different parts. If you keep analyzing it, it's made out of smaller and smaller parts.So let's use another example, that we have these Sunday talks here every Sunday. If we give it a different name called Sunday discussion or something else, the event is still happening and it can still happen as usual, but even though we have given it a different name, isn't that so?
那我们看这个今天的周日讲经，它是由很多不同的元素组成的，好，比如说要有听众，好，然后要有主讲人，然后要有场地，好，那这些东西要在同样的时间在这里组合起来，才能够有这个周日讲经的举行，好，所以这里就看出来，周日讲经并不是一个实在的主体，它是由各种不同的因素组成的，所以这是在受假的层次。
So, and let's look at the Sunday talk. It's actually made out of many different components. There needs to be the audience, to enable this Sunday talk to happen, and also there needs to be a speaker.And also the setting, this place, location. So all these parts are necessary to enable, these are all aggregates, and they come together to enable the happening of this event called Sunday Talk. So that is an example of the second level, the nominal designations of perceptions.
好，那我们再看组成这个周日讲经的其中一个元素，比如说主讲人，好，那来分析我这个主讲人，如果我不来，这个讲经就没办法进行了嘛，好，那可是如果我今天拉肚子，所以我不来了，造成这个周日讲经无法进行，好，那。可是要怎么样才能够让我不拉肚子，让我能够来？好，那就那我得要不会吃到不新鲜的东西。好，那怎么样才能够不吃到呢？要靠我们主厨，有买到新鲜的材料， 煮出怎么样才能够买到新鲜的材料，那得要超那个超市里面他们有妥善的经营管理，好、哦、才不会把不新鲜的东西卖给别人，好、哦、所以他一个接一个，他是牵制一个，好、哦、所以这样子我们这样子一直分析下去哈、哦、没完没了，好、哦、所以他这个是他每一个元素要能够能够出现，要那都是得要靠着其他的不同的因缘来促成才可以。
And for the third level, the nominal designations of phenomenon. So the Sunday talk is composed of all different components: the audience, the speaker. And if there's no speaker, then there will be no Sunday talk. But let's say if I don't come today, this Sunday's talk will not happen. And it could be because I can't make it because I have an upset stomach. But how do you prevent me from having an upset stomach? Well, first you have to make sure that all the food I eat are properly treated and are sanitary. But how do you make sure that happens? Then we need to have proper chefs. And then the chefs, when they go to supermarkets to buy the ingredients has to be fresh and not spoiled. And what can bring that about? Then the supermarket, the store has to be properly managed, and so they don't sell spoiled food to their customers. So if you keep analyzing it this way, it's the list, these events are all linked together. They're interconnected, and you can trace it very, very far back. It's indeed inexhaustible, endless. But all these needs to happen in order for the Sunday talk to take place. So this is an illustration of the nominal designations of phenomenon.
所以我们就知道所有事物的存在都是因缘组合造成的。
So this is a very clear illustration that everything in the world, all the phenomena in the world came about according to its own causes and conditions.
所以每一个东西它都不是一个真正的主体所存在，也就是说它不是真正的有、哦、那既然没有真正的有，也就没有真正的灭。
So everything exists, nothing can exist all by itself. Nothing really has its own intrinsic self-nature. And so without this intrinsic nature, we can also see it the other way, that so nothing really perishes.
那所以大家知道为什么心经要讲不生不灭、哦、就是这个道理。所以因为不生不灭，所以叫做空。
And that's why in the Heart Sutra we talk about no risings or no cessations, because there isn't anything real intrinsically has its own nature that comes about. So if there's no such thing that comes about, then it really doesn't perish and goes away. And this is the kind of emptiness that we talk about in Buddhism.
那这个空，它如果是套用在一般的事物上面，哦，我们叫做空性，因为它每个东西它都是因缘组成的嘛，那它的本体的性质是空性。那把这个空套用在我们有情众生身上，比如说人、哦、那这个空性叫做佛性。
So this quality, if we apply it, if we use this to talk about all the objects and phenomena in the world, the term we use is empty nature. But if we talk about this quality and apply it to all to sentient beings such as human beings, then it's called the Buddha nature.
好，那我们有我们知道了佛法的空是什么？好，那再来看我们的看人。好，那人是用刚刚有讲是身跟心组成的嘛？那佛陀用一种其中的一种分类方式，就是用五蕴来讲我们的身跟心是有哪些组成的那个元素。那这五蕴就是色、受、想、行、识。好，那这五个它其实就是身跟心的组合而已。
So now we understand the principles behind empty nature. Then we'll come back and talk about this as human beings. So basically, we are made out of body and mind. And the Buddha discussed it using one way he uses to discuss humans is that we are a composite of the five skandhas. That's what made up human beings. And what are the five skandhas? They are form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. And that's it. That's what made up a human, a person, and there's nothing else.
可是我们经常会有一则错误的观念，就是会在这个五蕴之外，我们会觉得还有一个东西，那个东西叫做我。那一般我们给它个名字叫做灵魂。
Yet, even understanding this, we still somehow stubbornly hold on to this erroneous concept that beyond these five skandhas, there still exists some sort of entity or component outside of the five skandhas or within the five skandhas. And we often call this entity the self, or some people label it as the soul.
如果你相信轮回，你就会认为有一个我，就是灵魂，一世一世的去轮回，这一世的身体坏了，这个灵魂就飘出来，然后到下一个身体。那这个身体就变得好像是一栋房子，或者一件衣服。房子坏了，衣服破了，我们去换一栋房子，换一件衣服再去穿。可是去住这个房子跟穿这件衣服的这个人没有变。这是我们一般的观念。
So we tend to have this concept that if you prescribe to the notion of reincarnation, then oftentimes we see it as see the physical body as a house or a piece of garment that we wear. And when the house deteriorates and breaks down, then somehow the soul or the self float out of the body and move into a new body, move into a new house. So there seems to be this, we grasp onto the notion of there's this soul, something that moves from one body to the next.
那这一种对自我的觉得我们人还有除了五蕴之外还有另外一个东西叫做我的这个东西来延续这个轮回的这个观念叫做它是邪见之一那它的名字叫做常见常就是经常的常
So having this misconception thatthere's a soul that go through one incarnation to the next, moving from one body to the next, this misconception that there is and something, the self, beyond the five skandhas, this is actually a devious thought, a very erroneous thought. It's called the view of permanence, seeing things as permanent.
那另外一个极端就是 不认为有过去，我也不认为有未来，就是不认为有轮回这件事情。哎，我这一次死掉了就没有了，我不管做过什么好事什么坏事，什么上天堂下地狱都跟我没有关系，那这个是断见，这是另外一种邪见。
Another extreme is not believing in reincarnation and thinking that everything that I've done this lifetime, it ends when I die, and there's no consequences, there's no follow-ups, that's it. And that is also an erroneous, devious thought, view, and it's called the view of annihilation.
好，那所以到底是什么在轮回？不是灵魂哦，是什么在轮回？
So what is it exactly that is going through this cycle of reincarnation? It's not the soul. There's no soul that's going through the incarnation. But what is it then?
那我们想举个例哦，我们这个轮回的主体就是，比如说我有两支蜡烛，第一支蜡烛我们把它点起来了，它的火在烧，那烧烧烧烧到第一支蜡烛快要没有了，我把第一支蜡烛的火引到第二支蜡烛上面，然后第一支蜡烛完全烧完了，剩下第二支蜡烛的火还在。那刚才第一支蜡烛的火跟第二支蜡烛的火，它们是不是同样的火？
So we can discuss this using an analogy to understand this concept of reincarnation. Think about it like as we have two candles. One candle is burning, but it's burning down. It's almost gone. So you use the first candle to light the second candle as the first candle finally burns down and the fire extinguished.So this fire on the second candle, the flame of the second candle, is this, what is it? Is it the same fire, same flame, or a different flame?
你们觉得是同样的火吗？是吗？
What do you think? Is this the same flame or a different flame?
你说是也很奇怪，你说不是，它没有第一支火，也不能有第二支火，对。
It's strange if you say that it's the exact same flame. Yet if you say that they're completely different, it doesn't seem right either. Because after all, without the first flame, you wouldn't have the second flame, the flame on the second candle. So it's really hard to categorize.
好，那另外一个看法就是，好，你说无我，没有灵魂，那现在在听讲的人，你可以听，你可以看，那你这个我到底是什么？
So, another analogy is, so let's say if we say there's no, there's no soul, there's no self that's going through their reincarnations, then what is it that's right now sitting here listening and looking, attending the Dharma talk? What is this thing that's doing the listening?
你们想知道答案吗？
Do you want to know the answer?
那怎么办？
What do you do? How do you get the answer?
没有，你们想要知道答案，唯一的方法就是问，问谁？问你自己。
If you really want the answer, the only way that you can obtain one is to ask the question. Who do you ask? You ask yourself.
因为我跟你讲答案，那个那都只是名相， 好，你没办法让你真正的去了解你的本性是什么。
I can't tell you the answer because if I give you the answer, there will remain a knowledge. It's all just nominal, just terminologies. You won't understand it based on your first-hand experience. It's not an experiential understanding. That's why there's no answer. I can't give you an answer.
打过七的人就知道哈，这个就是话头。
For those who have attended a meditation retreat before, you know that this is a 话头。
好，那接下来我想讲刚刚提到的三种不同的路，跟刚刚讲的空慧他们之间的关系是怎样的。
So, let's take a turn, and then I want to talk about the three paths that we mentioned earlier, human heavenly path, the path of liberation, and the bodhisattva path. How does it relate to this understanding of emptiness, the wisdom of emptiness?
那第一个人天道，它的特性就是它执着有一个我，那不想要出离或者解脱，他只想要享福，就是比如说我希望这一辈子做善事，然后下一辈子我可以去从在一个更富有的家庭出生，可以过得更幸福，那在这个层次呢，他大概可以从知识上面去了解明假的程度，但是却没有办法去了解受假跟法假的程度。
So the first one, the path for humans and heaven, the one defining characteristic of people partaking this path is there is still a very strong grasping to the sense of self, not really wanting to let that go. So all the practice goes toward having better retributions, but good retributions for this present life or following lives, and to continue so that you can be born into a family with higher status, better wealth, etc. So for those practitioners on this path, they may, on the knowledge intellectual level, be able to understand the concept behind nominal designations of names, but it will be really difficult for them to grasp the concepts behind nominal designations of sensations and nominal designations of phenomenon, the second and third levels.
那第二个层次解脱道，它这个的特性就是它执着无我，很急的要处理要解脱，那在这个层次它大概它就是可以了解明假跟受假，那可是还不能够透彻法假，所以他们在这个层次所证到的无我叫做人无我，人类的人。
The second path, the path of liberation, those practitioners, they are attached to the concept of no self. And so they are very eager to become free and liberated. And so for those practitioners, they understand the nominal designations of names as well as the nominal designations of sensations. Yet they're still not able to penetrate the third level nominal designations of phenomenon. So at this level, it's also called it's the level of no self on the human realm. I'm not quite sure about the translation for this term.
那第三个 是菩萨道。好，那菩萨道的特性，它就是不会执着有我，也不会执着无我。好，那所以因为他不执着无我，所以他可以在生死轮回当中存在，可是他却不是因为贪爱那些享受、贪爱那些福报而存在，可是他也不会去害怕这个生死，他想要赶快解脱啊，赶快处理啊，对，所以他虽然在生死，可是不会贪爱，也不会去畏惧生死啊。那在这个阶段，他已经是了解了明假，也懂得受假，也透彻的法假。
So the third path is called the Bodhisattva path. At this level, the practitioner is not attached to either the notion of self or no self. So even though they are still undergoing, they go through the reincarnations, but they do not grasp on, they don't have strong desires for all the positive retributions for the life and death. At the same time, they don't have fear. They are not afraid of. They don't try to escape life and the cycles of birth and death. So at this level, they have full understandings of the three different levels of nominal designations of names, sensations, and phenomenon.
那在这个阶段，他证到的无我是叫做法无我。
At this level, what the understanding, the stage they have obtained is called no self of dharmas, of all the phenomenons.
举个例哈，有一次，我出家前在去高雄逛街，那逛街的时候，突然听到有很吵的音乐在那边。就是觉得很吵，然后有一堆人聚在那个广场上面，那我后来发现啊，原来是五月天这个团体在那边有活动可是当下我第一个感觉就是觉得好吵，我不想待在这里就赶紧离开现场。然后我回家的时候跟我爸爸说，今天遇到五月天，我连看都不看一眼，我就离开了。
This reminds me of one incident that I personally encountered. Before I left home, I lived in Kaohsiung, and one day I went shopping on the street. And while I was there, suddenly I saw there was a group of people congregating, and there was a lot of noise, lots of music, lots of people, very crowded. So I took another look, realized that, it's a famous music band, rock band in Taiwan, that's playing, performing on stage. And my first reaction was, oh gosh, it's so noisy and so crowded. So I left immediately and went home. And I still remember, after I went home, I even told my father, oh, I ran into a band performance today, and I didn't even take a look. It was just so bothersome that I walked away right away.
那可是仔细想想，其实我是很在意这个乐团对我造成的影响。如果我不会如果我真的不在意这些音乐的话，我不需要离开啊，甚至去强调说我连看都不看一眼就离开了。好，所以其实这个音乐对我是有影响的。好，那这个举这个例子就好像说修解脱道的人，他觉得生死这件事情是可怕的，是不好的，所以他要赶快离开。所以对我来讲，这个吵杂的音乐是存在的，那对修解脱道的人来讲， 生死轮回这件事情它是实在的，所以就对到刚刚讲的三个层次的假施设，我们认为生死轮回是实在的主体，所以想要离开它。好，这就是只了解到受假的部分，是这样子。
But then, when I had a chance to analyze it a little bit deeper, I realized that the fact that I ran away and from the band playing, it actually shows I cared a lot about it. It bothered me, and I really want to get away from it. So to the extent that not only did I escape, went home, I even made the claim that, oh, I didn't even want to take a look to my father. So this, it shows that it actually was really on my mind, and it caused me discomfort. And this example parallels with what we were talking about. For those practitioners on the path of liberation, they have a lot of fears about the cycles of birth and death. And so they see it as as something with real essence, existence. And so they really want to get away from it, to become liberated from life and death. Instead of having a deeper understanding that life and death is really, again, just nominal and doesn't really even exist. So those people on the path of liberation, they only understood, their understanding has only reached the level of knowing nominal designations of sensations, but they haven't quite penetrated this nominal designations of phenomenon.
那我们想要如果我们想要修行菩萨道，可是我们还没有实证法无我，也还没有真正的了解法假，那是什么样的动力让我们想要去修行菩萨道？那这有一个很重要的动机哈，就是我们的菩提心。
So for those of us who aspired to practice the path of bodhisattvas, what if our understanding hasn't really quite penetrated the nominal designations of phenomenon, and then we haven't really obtained experiential understanding of the no-self of all phenomena. If we don't have those understandings with us, then how do we continue? So this will then again related to our initial motivation, and which has to do with our bodhi mind.
菩提心其实很容易了解哈，比如说你今天住在一栋房子，然后烧起来了，那赶快逃出来，因为你不想被烧死嘛。可是你却知道房子里面还有其他人，所以虽然房子烧起来了很危险，但是你还是会想要冲回去救其他的人。好，那这一种舍己为人的这种心就是菩提心。
The concept of bodhi mind is actually very easy to understand. It's as if we're living in the building and the building is on fire. So we could burn to death. So there's really an urgency for us to leave the building right away. At the same time, we realize that there are still other people inside the building. So despite your own danger, you want to go back into the building to get those people out. So having this notion of giving up oneself in order to help other people, that is called the bodhi mind.
好，那我们已经知道无我，也知道有三种道路可以选。好，那怎么开始做呢？最近的就是先从三皈依跟五戒开始。
So now that we have a basic understanding of the concept of no self, as well as knowing there are three different paths that we can choose from, then how do we proceed? How do we continue on? So a very easy first step is taking the three refuges.
那为什么要受戒？啊，不是，为什么要皈依啊？
Why do we have to take the refuge from the triple jewels?
因为我们人生活在这个世界哈，不可能完全的独立，我们必定还是要依靠别人的帮忙，才能够继续生活下去。比如说我们会生病，我们会老，那所以我们要提早准备，我们会有生病的一天，我们会有老的一天，找一个依靠，让自己生活能够有保障。
So why do we have to take the three refuges? You can explain it this way, that after all, no one can really survive independently, live independently in this world, that we depend on other people for many things. At least when you're sick, you need other people to help, and then we will age. So we also depend on other people's assistance and kindness. So because there will be incidences where we will need help and support, so you want to make preparations for it. And that's why you're taking the three refuge to make preparations for the support that you need.
那要靠什么呢？靠山，山会倒；靠人，人会老。所以要靠三宝。
But what is it exactly that we can depend on? There's a saying in Chinese that if you want to depend on the mountain, if you lean on the mountain, the mountain could topple over. If you want to lean on a person, the person will age and die. So what is it that you can truly depend on? It's the triple jewels that we can ultimately truly depend on.
那三宝就是佛法僧。那佛，因为我们相信它是一个解脱的圣者，所以我们相信他。那法是佛讲出来的法，我们也相信依照佛讲的法来修行，我们有一天也会跟佛一样。那僧主要是让这个佛法能够延续下去的一个团体，所以我们要护持僧，让这个法能够继续流传下去，让我们的子孙也有机会学到这个法。
So what are the three jewels, the triple jewels? It's the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. We believe in the Buddha, we trust in the Buddha because he is someone, a sage who has already attained perfect liberation. So we believe in him. And Dharma are the teachings that he passed down to us that that we have to follow to practice. And the Sangha are the cultivation community that perpetuates and responsible of the continuations of the teachings, the Dharma. So we also have to support the Sanghas.
好，那皈依之后通常会接着受戒。那可是也听过有人说他只想皈依不想受戒。那这个他的想法可能是因为觉得他已经本来就是个奉公守法的好国民了，为什么还要再给自己多加上一层束缚才叫学佛呢？
And usually, after taking the three refuges, the next step is to take the five precepts. And there are some people who they seem to resist the idea of taking the precepts. And I think they aren't, maybe the way they're thinking is, I'm already someone who's a lawful citizen that abides by all the good moral principles. Then why do I really have to take the precepts to, in a sense, having additional restrictions to show that I have taken the three refuges and become a Buddhist? I don't need that. So those are additional extra stuff.
那其实佛我们既然相信了佛也想学他的法那佛教我们的第一个法就是要我们受戒那可是我只想皈依我就不想受戒这种感觉就有点像是我承认你是我的老师但是你教的东西我不想学。But
think about it this way. When we take the three refuges, it's like admitting and accepting the Buddha as our teacher. And the first teaching that the Buddha taught us is you have to uphold the precepts. So if you only take the three refuges and refuse to take the five precepts, it's like you're saying, okay, I recognize you as my teacher, but I don't want to learn whatever you're teaching me.
持戒，我在中间有跳过，要跳过哈，就是剩下五分钟。那持戒跟修定，他们之间是什么关联？为什么持戒就可以修定？
Then from upholding the precepts to the cultivation of samadhi, what is the relationship? Why does upholding precepts help us practice samadhi?
这边在瑜伽师地论里面有讲到一段文字啊，那我直接念哈，戒尽变得无悔，无悔故欢，欢故生喜，由心喜故生得清安，生清安故变受圣乐，乐故心定。
So basically, it's explained clearly in the discourse on the stages of concentration practice, Yogacara Bhumi Sastra, that there is a direct quote that when the precept is pure, then you will have no regrets. When you have no regret, then joy will naturally arise. When the joy arises, you will experience peace and lightness of the body. And when the physical body is at ease, at peace, then you experience supreme bliss. And when you experience this bliss, then the mind becomes calm and settled.
所以持戒主要是让我们能够有一种心安理的效果。 那所以持戒对我们修定是有非常非常大的帮助。So
basically, the upholding precepts can help us feel calm and settled of the mind, that we feel that we are at the right and we haven't done anything wrong. And this is very important as a foundation for practicing concentration.
就整体修行来讲，持戒是为了避免我们去制造新的障碍。那可是我们过去已经制造出来的障碍怎么办？就要用惭愧跟忏悔来消除。So
you can also understand it as upholding the precept will prevent us from creating additional new obstacles on our path of practice. That's referring to the future. But what about all the obstacles that have already been created from our past? So in that case, we have to practice repentance, feeling a sense of shame and repenting for the transgressions that we have made in the past.
那我们也因为了解我们 在这个世界上生活必须要依靠许多许许多多不同的是人也好动物也好，我们是依靠他们的共同合作来得到我们生活的一些必须的让我们那个生命能够得以延续，所以我们也会升起感恩心。
Meanwhile, we should also have the understanding that we do not live independently in this world, that we depend on other people for many, many things, for their help and for their support. So we should also give rise to the sense of gratitude.
那因为我们懂得惭愧，也懂得感恩，所以我们的心变得更柔软。那因为所以我们能够惭愧，能够忏悔，让我们的心能够柔软，这样子我们的对佛法的吸收能够吸收得更好。
So once you are able to have a regular ongoing practice of repentance and being thankful, when you have those within you, then your mind actually becomes more settled as well as more subtle. So it becomes softer and tender, and it becomes easier for one to absorb the teachings of the Buddha and to incorporate Buddhism into our daily lives.
所以如果我们不知道惭愧，也不知道感恩，那就是一直去打坐修定，然后觉得我们的禅修功夫越来越好，越来越厉害，那变成就觉得我很厉害哦，其他人都比我差，那这变成一种傲慢心。对，那你这个傲慢心一起来，你的自我就越来越坚固，那你自我越来越坚固，你说这样子要修行其实是背道而驰。
But if you neglect the practice of thankful and repentance, then instead if you focus solely on meditation and practice samadhi, you might fall into the trap of feeling that, oh, my meditation is getting better and better, I'm such a good meditator. In that sense, your ego would expand and just grow out of control. You become very arrogant, and the sense of ego becomes further solidified, and this is the direct opposite of practicing Buddhism.
好，那所以这是持戒跟修定之间的关系。那接下来有修定为什么能够开发智慧，那这个欢迎来打气。
So that is the relationship between holding the precepts and concentration and wisdom. As to how does the practice of samadhi help with the practice of wisdom? To understand the relationship, you are encouraged and welcome to come do a meditation retreat with us at DDRC.
好，那所以我们今天介绍了三条路，就是三个道路，三个原则。三个原则是戒、定、慧。三条路是人天道、解脱道跟菩萨道。
And so today, we have talked about the three different paths as well as the three basic principles. The three paths are the path of human and heaven realm, the path of liberation, and the path of bodhisattvas. And the three basic principles are upholding precepts, cultivation of samadhi, concentration, and the development of wisdom.
好，所以今天时间到了。谢谢大家。
We thank you very much,
Volunbu
Tang Xiang Fa Shi, for today's Dharma Talk. And we also thank you, our translator Annie. 我们非常谢谢长香法师今天的佛学讲座，也非常谢谢我们的 translator, 我们翻译的 Annie, 谢谢。